Oh, crap.
The moment when it hits the fan. I'm Meredith Hartley.
I'm Frank Hutchison.
And you're listening to Oh Crap, the Crisis Management Podcast, helping you survive your Oh Crap moments in business and in life. Brought to you by Me Squared. You can learn more at our website, www.me2-solutions.com. That's www.me2-solutions.com. Hi, everyone. This is Meredith Hartley.
And Frank Hutchison.
From Me Squared Solutions. And we're here to talk to you for part two in our series about spin. We talked in our first episode about what spin is and how it's not just for spin doctors. You're probably doing it too. It's anytime you tell a white lie or you dodge a question or you try to spin something that's negative to sound like it's positive. And what we discussed is that spin is always a symptom of a crisis because it indicates you feel the need to conceal something. I mean, we all do it. It's something that we are wired to do. We all want to portray ourselves and our businesses and our lives in the best possible light. And that means we're prone to using spin as a self-defense mechanism when we're under stress.
Now, when you're especially prone to spin is when, you know, the truth makes you embarrassed or insecure. When you aren't making enough money and you want to make a sale or you're really desperate for that, or asked a question that you don't know the answer, or you answer a question and then someone says, you know, how do you know that's the answer? You know, what's your supporting evidence? Make a decision based on your gut, and then someone asks you to explain, why did you do that? Or you've been promoted to a level of your incompetence, the Peter Principle. Now you know you're over your head and you're afraid to admit that you're over your head. You do it when you're caught off guard or you're surprised. Sometimes you're worried about not being good enough or not enough of whatever it is that you're supposed to be. Or you've made a mistake and you don't want to admit that you made a mistake. In all those cases, that's when you're prone to spin.
These are all cases where you're vulnerable because they threaten your control of both the situation and your emotions. And at its core, spin is about control. It's a coping mechanism we use to regain control when you feel like you've lost it. And that could be controlling the situation, controlling what's happening. And it could also be trying to save face and control your emotions because you're worried you're going to feel embarrassed or someone's going to look at you negatively. Spin is fundamentally about tricking people to avoid those negative consequences. And they can be real consequences or imagined ones. They could be severe or mild. It could be as little as admitting you don't have the answer or trying to cover up a big catastrophic mistake. But it all boils down to fundamentally that you're trying to trick people to avoid consequences. But most people really don't want to go around tricking other people. They aren't trying to do that, but they rationalize it. It's like that Heinlein quote.
Man is not a rational creature. He's a rationalizing creature.
So true. And Frank, you always tell me that people behave a certain way because they were taught to behave that way. That something in their past taught them that that's the way that you react to this. Whether it's a good reaction or not, something taught them to behave that way.
Because people learn success patterns that have worked in the past. The problem with these success patterns is that they may have worked in a certain circumstance, in a certain environment, in a certain place, or a certain time, but now you're coming to a different situation, a different place, you're involved with different people, and using the same mechanism doesn't work.
Right. So there's an appropriate time and place to put a positive spin on something that happened. There's an appropriate time and place to accentuate the positive and downplay the negative. But that shouldn't be your coping mechanism every single time there's a crisis.
Well, the simplest thing to do is always ask yourself, what is the best way of getting to the best result? And of course, this also brings up the question of best result for who?
Exactly. Because spin at its core is really, it's selfish. And a lot of people shy away from that word, but if you're spinning something, really legitimately, the definition of spin that we discussed in our last podcast, let me pull it up for you, is that spin is propaganda, a campaign to influence another person or control public opinion. And it's different from normal public relations or communication, because spin is fundamentally disingenuous, deceptive, misleading, or highly manipulative. And it's about making yourself look better to other people. you really have to ask yourself, am I doing this for my customer or for myself? Am I doing this for the good of everyone, or is this really about making life easier for me? And usually what we think is in our own best interest is very, very short-sighted.
We really work at making ourselves look good, because what we always have is this mechanism inside ourselves where we compare what we know of ourselves. We know the worst about ourselves, and we compare our worst with the public persona of others when they're projecting their best. What we don't realize is that we're also projecting our best, and they're looking at us and saying, well, they're good, and I'm this terrible person. And it goes back and forth, but we're not being honest. We're constantly trying to make ourselves look like something we're not.
Yes, and crisis management is always about the truth. There's this weird misperception from Hollywood and TV that crisis management is about spinning. It's about lying. It's about covering up bad things that happened and avoiding consequences. And that's not what crisis management is. That may be some form of crisis communications or being a spin doctor. But in crisis management, we are about fixing problems. And you can't do that unless you have the truth. We'll talk more about this in our next episode, about how spin actually hurts, but I want to talk a little more about how people get into spin. And just like Frank said, it's usually because they're mimicking what they've seen other people do. That's how it started for me. I didn't realize until years ago that I was spinning. I was doing those little white lies, those little miscommunications on a regular basis. And it's because I'd seen the people I work with do the same thing. And it got them out of binds. It got them out of difficult, muddy situations. When a customer asked a hard question, they gave a spin answer, and they got out of it. And hey, we survived that meeting. That's how you handle a hard meeting. It wasn't until later, when I saw the consequences, that maybe they got a sale, but they lost the customer in the long run. It's we talk about how it is sales smart and customer foolish to spin. I finally saw the long-term effects that they may have gotten a sale, but they lost their customers long-term. Or they lost their coworkers' respect because their coworkers knew how much they were lying. And that's when I realized that truth is always the best policy. And I started paying attention to myself. I really realized how much I was doing it. And we talk about that a lot, that it takes a significant emotional event to change behavior, to change your coping mechanisms. Something has to happen that makes you believe and understand the consequences of what you're doing, that they are worse than the consequences you're trying to avoid right now. And that's why we joke in our family a lot about the BS meter, that we've all developed really, really good abilities to detect both in ourselves and others when we're putting out a pile of bull honky, and we try really hard to self-monitor ourselves. You can learn how to develop and calibrate your own BS meter, and these are the questions that Frank and I have used every day to figure out if our BS meter is really calibrated.
The first one is, how do you respond when you don't know the answer to a question?
And really pay attention to yourself. In that moment, when someone asks you for an answer that you don't have, do you feel scared? Do you feel that little knot of panic rise up in the middle of your chest? And when you do, what does it tell you to say? And is that the best answer? Is that the answer you should be giving? Think about how honest is that answer? Is your first instinct to come up and say something, anything? Or do you admit that you don't know the answer to that question?
Or the second question is, you know, do you worry that people won't, you know, hire you or pick you or find you exciting enough? What do you respond then?
If someone asks you what you do, are you like the woman I talked about in our last podcast, who instead of saying, I sell investment products, she tried to spin it into saying, I help people live their bucket lists, and she did anything to avoid using the word investment or investment broker. I had to go find that information myself. And I think it boils down to thinking that I'm not exciting enough. There are too many other people who do what I do. I have to spin it. Instead of saying, I'm good, and here's the results I can give you, she was trying to compensate with spin instead of results.
Although in her case, she may not be good.
We don't know for sure, but that's the thing. I'll never find out because I don't trust her.
That's right.
So are you worried that you aren't interesting enough rather than you're not doing good enough work?
Okay, the third question is, do you use the most common, well-known terms to explain what you do?
Which goes back to the story I was just discussing, that when you're communicating with people, do you use clear terms everyone can understand. You'll run into this a lot with people who are in multi-level marketing programs, where they will do anything to avoid using the word for what they're selling, whether it's Melaleuca or Amway or Mary Kay. They'll try to get you into what they're doing before they use those words. Make sure that if you are a investment broker, you say, I'm an investment broker, and then talk about how good you are at what you do. If you are a lawyer, say you're a lawyer. If you are a IT solution designer, say that you are an IT solution designer. Don't say that you are some dream creator of the internet realm. Use clear, easy to understand words.
When number four, when someone asks you about something negative, how do you respond? Do you try to counter the negative information? How? I mean, what kinds of questions do you ask when someone says something negative?
And that's an important one. Does negative information make you scared? Because if it does, that fear is likely to push you into spin. If someone says something negative, there's no reason to get upset if it's true. You, at that point, you want to ask them, what have you heard? If, for instance, I had a meeting recently with some folks who were trying to sell me advertising, and I'd heard some mixed things about their company, and so I asked them about, you know, can you give me some more data, because I've heard these mixed things. And I got two different responses from two different people. One person said, I don't know the answer, but I'll find out. The other person spent paragraphs and paragraphs trying to tell me that, no, we're amazing and we're super awesome and we do these great things and there's nothing negative. I don't know where you heard that. Those people didn't know what they were talking about. We're amazing and I know we're super unique and we can super help you. That was trying to dodge a question and put a positive spin and avoid the negative information. I really respected the first person for saying, I don't know, but I'll find out. That was the right answer. She wasn't scared of the negative. The other person I don't trust because they ran away from anything negative. And now, that's the thing, is we're wired to do that. We're wired to do that. So if you catch yourself doing that, stop and think, what am I really scared of? Why am I scared of this negative information?
Okay, the last question is, how often do you leave out details or information that you know would affect your listener's decision?
And it's totally normal. We all self-select information. It's normal to not emphasize the bad details first. But it's a question of balance. If there's a lot of bad information or a lot of negative details or information that really could affect your listener's decision and you're always leaving it out, then you're out of balance. You're spinning. If you still address that negative information, then you're not spinning. And what it really boils down to is asking yourself with all these questions, what are you really afraid will happen? Is it your fear for yourself or on your customer's behalf? And how do you know it's on your customer's behalf? Because usually that fear is going to be about yourself. So really ask yourself, why am I feeling this? Why does the negative information make me scared? Why do I feel I have to leave out that information? Why do I spin things? And as you do that, you'll calibrate your own BS meter.
Being honest with yourself is the first step to stopping the spin and building real trust with others.
And that's what really matters. It's really all about trust. Business, crisis management, all of it is about building trust. And you can only do that when you're honest. Thank you very much for listening.
Goodbye.
Hi, everyone. It's Meredith. Thanks for listening. If you enjoyed the show, you can get more crisis management and prevention tips and strategies for free at our website, www.me2-solutions.com. That's www.me2-solutions.com. We're also on Facebook and Twitter. Just search for ME2 space solutions and you should find our profile. You can also find me on Twitter under my handle, The Quality Girl. Thanks for listening.
Copyright 2013 by Hutchison Solutions LLC. All rights reserved. But now seriously, folks, no part of this podcast may be reproduced in whole or part without our permission. But we'll be happy to give it to you. Just fire us an email, which you can find on our website. Thank you.